My call the following morning was to Colonel Teague in Butler, which is our regional headquarters. I explained the situation and waited while he made a call, presumably to Scranton, where the big boys hang their hats. It didn't take long for Teague to get back to me, and the news was good. I then spoke to Shirley, although that was little more than a formality. She had liked the father well enough, but outright doted on the son. When Ned came in that afternoon after school, I asked him if he'd like to spend the summer learning dispatch and getting paid for it instead of listening to Tom McClanahan bitch and moan down at Parks and Rec. For a moment he looked stunned, hammered almost. Then he broke out in an enormous, delighted grin. I thought he was going to hug me. If I'd actually put my arm around him the previous evening instead of just thinking about it, he probably would have. As it was, he settled for clenching his hands into fists, raising them to the sides of his face and hissing, "Yes!" "Shirley's agreed to take you on as apprentice, and you've got the official okay from Butler. It ain't swinging a shovel for McClanahan, of course, but..." This time he did hug me, laughing as he did it, and I liked it just fine. I could get used to something like that. When he turned around, Shirley was standing there with two troopers flanking her, Huddy Royer and George Stankowski, all of them looking as serious as a heart attack in their gray uniforms. Huddy and George were wearing their lids, making them look approximately 9 feet tall. "You don't mind?" Ned asked Shirley. "Really?" "I'll teach you everything I know," Shirley said. "Yeah?" Huddy asked. "What's he going to do after the first week?" Shirley threw him an elbow. It went in just above the butt of his Beretta and landed on target. Huddy gave an exaggerated oof sound and staggered. "Got something for you, kid," George said. He spoke quietly and gave Ned his best "you were doing 60 in a hospital zone" stare. One hand was behind his back. "What?" Ned asked, sounding a little nervous in spite of his obvious happiness. Behind George, Shirley, and Huddy, a bunch of other Troop D's had gathered. "Don't you ever lose it," Huddy said, also quietly and seriously. "What, you guys, what?" More uneasy than ever. From behind his back, George produced a small white box. He gave it to the boy. Ned looked at it, looked at the troopers gathered around him, then opened the box. Inside was a big plastic star with the words "Deputy Dog" printed on it. "Welcome to Troop D, Ned," George said. He tried to hold on to his solemn face and couldn't. He started to guffaw, and pretty soon they were all laughing and crowding around to shake Ned's hand. "Pretty funny, you guys," he said. "A real belly buster." He was smiling, but I thought he was on the verge of tears again. It was nothing you could see, but it was there. I think Shirley Pasternak sensed it, too. And when the kid excused himself to go to the head, I guessed he was going there to regain his composure or to assure himself he wasn't dreaming again, or both. Sometimes when things go wrong, we get more help than we ever expected. And sometimes it's still not enough.